This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Quick, somebody get a fire hose to the D. The big guy is overheating, and for good reason, because we've got Olympics going on. Brazil, USA coming up in just about 29 minutes. That means live bullets right here on Sharp Money. I've got two bets on that basketball game. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Take some notes here, big guy's got two bets as well. Got plenty to do as we welcome you in here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Speaking of notes, did you get the VSiN daily today? You know, the man of mystery, Bill AD. Well, what'd my man do? He bought back a company, then he hopped on the PJ and went to Oakland to watch the White Sox A's as the White Sox tie an American League record back to 85 with the Orioles, 21 straight losses. My man Bill AD was there. How do I know? I read about it today in VSiN Daily. You can go over to VSiN.com, enter your little email address, and you get it for free. It's free 90 free. You pay nothing. Another thing, we just had a big meeting as we welcomed officially our new EVP of programming, one Steve Cohen. And I got to be honest, if you notice over the next week or so, a little extra pep in the step on each show, as we turn the sporting calendar page, we also turn a very significant page here at VSiN with new leadership. Of course, Musburger Media is back in the mix. And I got to tell you, it's an exciting time. And with that, this week only, you're getting 75% off 3 years, $350. Sign up, become a VSiN Pro. If there was ever a better time to become a VSiN Pro, I can't think of one that's better than now, because the on-air content's about to get better. The VSiN.com content's about to get better. And we're entering a wonderful time here at VSiN. So looking forward to it. Speaking of wonderful times, I say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson, you know, the big guy, hanging out. And he's sweating bullets today for a multitude of reasons. You can see him there. He's got a handkerchief. And I don't know if he was sweating about the U.S. women's national team, but come on now, USA, let's all do it together. USA, they got a goal in extras, the 95th minute. The U.S. women's national team is a freaking wagon. And Sophia Smith scored in the 95th minute in extras to beat Germany 1-0. And so Dustin knows, because he's a big soccer fan, they're going to take on Brazil or Spain for the gold in Paris. Let's go, U.S. women's national team. I mentioned the Brazil-USA match coming up in just about 28 minutes. Again, we're going to have bets live on the air here for that matchup. It's a formality as far as the United States basketball team. Obviously, they're laying 26.5 to Brazil, 184.5 on the total. So we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. I did mention the White Sox, and I'll play a little meme that you see on the internet. Hear me out. Because if betting on the White Sox when they've lost 21 straight is wrong, I don't want to be right. Because the pricing has become ridiculous. Got a little smile from the big guy because he knows I'm right. So we'll get to that coming up. And just pay attention for Sunday. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Also, Brandon Ayuk, Dustin Sweetelson, not exactly Adam Schefter, passed along a text to me during the program yesterday trying to get me in trouble, saying Brandon Ayuk was on his way to the Steelers with his terrible towel. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. It could be the Patriots. It could be the Browns. What we're going to do is tell you what to expect from the 49ers, because frankly, this looks untenable. Between Ayuk, he wants cash. The 49ers got to pay a lot of people cash. And so it looks like an untenable situation with the 49ers and Ayuk. So where will he end up, and what will that team that's sitting 11.5 in the market on season win totals, what will that team look like without Brandon Ayuk? We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. A little show business for Dustin Sweetelson as we open up the program. We're loaded today. Andy Staples, for my money, maybe the best to do it when it comes to college football. He's going to join us. The GOAT, the greatest of all time as far as guests on television or radio, Mike Randall is back, FTNFantasy.com. What's up, Dustin? Brock Vereen, you know him, played in the league. He's going to join us, Big Ten Network. And Dustin promises me Eric Lindquist, odd shopper betting analyst, is a nerd. because I like nerds. I like people that come on and speak over my head, because if they're speaking over our heads, we're getting sharp information. We'll try to slow them down and make it palatable. But Eric Lindquist is going to join as well. Now, speaking of joining us, Thomas Gable, good friend of mine. He runs the race and sports book over there at the Borgata. Big horse racing fan as well. Well, Thomas Gable is in town in Vegas. And tomorrow, he is going to stop by the set there at the D and be a special guest judge for Palm versus the big guy. Can't wait for that. Shout to Thomas Gable. Now, Henry Mejia, he was our Sharp Money survivor. Like the guy, kind man. He gave us the video standing in front of the beautiful mountains here in California. He gone! 0-1. Nish Gandhi, you're safe. Henry Mejia got screwed last night. We still love you, Henry. You're part of the family here on Sharp Money. And, of course, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got family videos to get to, because what's our purpose here on Sharp Money? It's to give you picks on picks on picks on any sport that's happening any day. Okay? So that's where we start. We set the table, and now I go to the big guy who's got a lot going on, whether it be with work, whether it be with the weight loss challenge, whether it be with the shorties at the bar at the D, who neither of them will even look at him at this point. It's just a lot going on, and I say hi to Dustin to start the program. What's cracking?
Man, you are in a good mood. I love when you're in a good mood, because it puts me in a good mood, because my natural kind of idol is to not be in a good mood, to have something to complain about. So I appreciate you coming out with the energy you're coming out with today.
Thank you. Thank you, Dustin Sweetelson, and I appreciate you. It's nice to work with you. Oh, by the way, you know, Samich, partner on the show, you know, Mike Samich, professional bettor, probably the best to do it when it comes to the ponies and host of The Handle on the weekends. He was flexing just a little bit. Now, he did send you a video. I didn't see it in the rundown, but he sent a family play as well. Do you have it? Because yesterday his video got caught up in spam.
It was a late edition. I did get a video from Mike, and I'll just point out that I don't appreciate the shots that are going to come when we play this video later.
Oh, well, I do appreciate it, and I also appreciate you putting your 3-1 day yesterday with the bets at the top of the rundown today. Samich is on like a 10-3 heater. He passed that along to me so I could flex for him. I'm not, you know, talking about myself, but we did crush that under with France yesterday v. Egypt from Africa. So we're flying. The show is flying right now, so plenty to do. I do want to start here. I mentioned that Bill A.D. and Derek Stevens. See, Derek Stevens is the proprietor of Circa Sports, which is kind of becoming synonymous with sports betting. They have wonderful numbers. They don't limit bettors, even sharp bettors. And so Circa, you know, it's a big deal. And what Derek Stevens likes to do is when there's an event where he can go and get a little, you know, inebriated, he likes to hop on the PJ because that's what real dudes do. And he likes to fly up to the event. So he said to one of our fearless leaders yesterday, hey, we're taking the private jet to the Oakland Coliseum to join 3,000 other fans to watch the White Sox tie the AL record for consecutive losses. You want to go? And Bill was like, I don't think I should. I got payroll issues. I got staffing issues. What time do we leave? And so he hopped on the PJ and he flew up to Oakland and he wrote about it and he was there in person to watch it. Plus 170 at Oakland. The White Sox fell 5-1. Oakland, now if you want to understand how bad the White Sox are, think about this pricing on Oakland. Oakland is 47-67. Quick math, 20 games below 500. They were a minus $2.05 favorite last night against the White Sox and beat them 5-1. That's all you need to know. But you also should know that the White Sox tied the AL record 21st straight loss. The 88 O's lost 21 times straight as well. And they did it, as I mentioned, in front of about 4,000 fans at that decrepit Oakland Coliseum. Now, remember, Oakland, leaving Oakland, they're going to hang out in Sacramento for 3 years and then come to the big guy there in Vegas, and it's going to be a Las Vegas franchise in Major League Baseball. But we have to talk about the White Sox because they've got a game, the second of two at Oakland, actually the second of three, and I think this provides the best opportunity for the White Sox tonight to pick up a W, because I was looking ahead at their schedule, Dustin. So they've got Oakland tonight, Oakland tomorrow. Then they've got two versus the Cubs. Then they've got the Yankees. Then they've got Houston. Then they've got the Giants. And those are still professionals. I use that term lightly as far as the White Sox are concerned. But they're still professional baseball players, and they know how embarrassing this is. And they've got Ross Stripling tonight. Ross Stripling on the bump for the A's. Stripling's a friend of the show. We used to have him on Mad Dog Sports Radio all the time. He stinks. I mean, and he has been getting battered lately. So if the White Sox are going to snap out of this, first off, Ross Stripling shouldn't be a $2.18 favorite over you. And I'm talking about the big guy. So the fact that he's a $2.18 along with the A's cent favorite over the White Sox, and the White Sox are coming back at plus 180, I'm sorry. Again, I said, I don't want to be right if it's wrong to bet the White Sox tonight. I think this is the shot you got to take.
I completely agree with you. You look at what's going on with Chicago. Shout out to William McKinley, because the last time a team was on pace for this many losses, he was the president of America.
And how did McKinley die? Assassinated. Continue with your
He was? I didn't know that. I really didn't know. All right. Anyway, the White Sox are on pace to go 38-124. That's the most losses since 1899. The Cleveland Spiders went 20-134 that year. It's the longest winning streak since the 88 Orioles, 21 in a row. The NL record since 1900 is held by the 61 Phillies, who lost 23 straight. And the White Sox in this run have been held to one run or none 32 times.
That's not great. Now, you're talking about the White Sox scoring runs. I'm going to surprise you when we come back, because I've got a play on a team total. It's Tuesday. We've got new management. We're getting freaking weird on Sharp Money. Jonathan Cannon v. Ross Stripling. Must-see theater. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Take notes.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson live downtown at the D, Las Vegas off Fremont Street. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Hope your Tuesday's going well. Remember, the U.S. Women's National Team, they advance. They're going to play for the gold, whether it be Brazil or Spain. We'll find out in a couple hours. Brazil-USA men's basketball coming up in about 14 minutes. We've got four plays for you coming up in just a couple. To properly Dustin Sweetelson contextualize what the 2024 White Sox are dealing with, you have to go back to 2003 and talk about my Detroit Tigers. They finished 2003 43-119. 119, that's the most losses in AL history. Brandon Inge, we called him Babe Inge. Bobby Higginson. Bobby Higginson could rake. AJ Hinch, who's now the manager of the Tigers, was a catcher on that team. Jeremy Bonderman, dude hit 100 on the gun. Omar Infante, I mean, I actually had some talent, and here's the cap. Alan Trammell was the skipper of the 23 Tigers. Now, Alan Trammell, 6'4", Lou Whitaker, it means something to somebody as old as I am, and he was the steward of a team that had the most losses in AL history. Now the donk that manages the White Sox, you don't know his name, nobody knows his name because he shouldn't be managing the team, is about to, essentially, he's on pace for 38-124. So he could set a new AL record as far as losses. Let's talk about tonight. White Sox Athletics. Okay, I mentioned Jonathan Cannon for the White Sox, 1-5, 4.11 ERA. He's a disaster on the road. 5.76, batting average against, 3.22. So that's the starter for the White Sox. Ross Stripling is what we need to focus on here for the Athletics, big guy. He's 2-10, 5.64, and he's been getting crushed recently. He just throws lollipops. At this point, I know he's got that 12-6 breaker. At this point, your boy Stripling should just be throwing underhand, because he's just a soft tosser that does not, he doesn't do a ton. Hear me out. First off, you and I are both on the White Sox because there's a couple of things. Situationally, they're not going to pick up a win for a long time if they don't get it tonight. They're in a perfect spot, right? Ross Stripling, 21 straight losses, ties the 88 O's for record. That's the conversation in the clubhouse today. They don't want to be a part of history that's on the bad side. I'm going to tell you something I'm going to do that is probably going to trip you out a little bit. But I took a look at the White Sox team total, and it's 3.5 even to the over. Hear me out. I know this is a putrid offense. I know it's anemic. It's freaking Ross Stripling. And so if we can get to Ross early on a day the White Sox, 110 games into the season, won't be more opening day, they weren't this motivated. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? I like a couple of one even price, 3.5 team total White Sox over. And give me a miss. Look, the Athletics should win this game. 218 tells you the White Sox plus 180 against Stripling is a ridiculous price. I'll take the White Sox catching the price.
Coming into the year, we thought the Oakland A's were going to be the worst team in baseball. It turns out it's...
No, I didn't. I just want to say I said okay. White Sox, and you and Adam Burke, who pretend to be, you know, Mr. Stratocast, said, no, the A's are going to be just as bad. And,
I was saying the greater we. You made it personal. I didn't actually believe that. But, okay, we continue here. There's no reason the A's should be minus 218 against anyone. I'm sorry. I agree with you here. Fun fact, did you know the Chicago White Sox are 0-56 trailing after the sixth inning? So if you're going to bet them, maybe we go first five here. Like, that might be an angle because they're not good at comebacks. That seems to be an issue here when you lose a lot. But I actually agree with you. There are very few auto fades on the schedule when you see them lining up against a team to possibly place a bet. Ross Stripling is one of those auto fades. You are very rarely backing him. He's coming off an okay performance against San Francisco, whatever. He's missed a lot of time this year. He's actually worse at home than he is on the road. He has a 4.76 ERA over the last 30. White Sox hitters actually have an 8.72 OPS against him lifetime. And Oakland, here's the key. Post All-Star break, they came out with a little bit of punch the first few games. The scoring has stopped a lot. Only averaging 3 runs per game over their last 6. For Jonathan Cannon, who you talked about, he's actually not been that bad. 3 earned runs allowed in his last 13 innings. 3 of his last 5 starts were quality starts. They're just all losses because of the offense. 3.48 July ERA, 3.20 in June. I'm sorry. I'm backing Jonathan Cannon plus $1.94, and I'm going to do a little sprinkle on the reverse money line, minus 1.5 plus 285.
For me, you gave a lot of good statistics there. For me, this one's very simple. Comes down to the human condition. Comes down to the White Sox. There's got to be some pride in that clubhouse. And you look up, and you mentioned it, 218 on Stripling in the Athletics. The A's won't be favored $2 or more the rest of the season. Maybe tomorrow, but to close out the set against the White Sox. But the rest of the season, the A's aren't going to be a heavy favorite like this.
No,
I'm just going to take the pricing of plus 180.
Okay, on your point about when does the win come, like the White Sox have Crochet going on August 9th, right? That's this Friday against the Cubs. Probably going to lose that one, even though it's Crochet and he's the ace. But at some point, they're going to shut him down as well. He doesn't want to go over a certain number of innings so that he's not banged up for next year because he was a reliever prior to this. So if we take Crochet out of this rotation and you add in the schedule that you mentioned coming up, if at any point that happens in this next couple rounds in the rotation, I really don't know when they win their next game.
Okay, well, if you woke up today and thought, I wonder what Sharp Money thinks about White Sox A's, I bet you didn't have on your bingo card that the big guy and I are both heavy on the White Sox. After losing 21 straight. So let's go.
Look.
Now, speaking of let's go, about 9 minutes from tip-off in Paris, and that is the United States v. Brazil men's basketball. Couple of things here. One, I think you're going to trifle with that first half, so I'll get to you in a second. But the game line, 26.5 on the United States, laying it against Brazil. Brazil just doesn't have the size. Scrappy team, cute little team, but they can't hang with the United States, obviously. 184.5 on the total. Knockout stage in men's basketball. And I'm going to tell you, I've got two props for you, big guy. Curry, you've heard of him, Steph, he cook, and he's been getting a bunch of volume from three, although the efficiency hasn't been great, but I love his spot against Brazil. Brazil has been getting torched from three. As a matter of fact, opponents are shooting more threes than twos against this Brazilian team to the tune of 51.5%. Steph's Made threes is set at 2.5. You got to lay $145 on the juice. I'm going to go over 2.5 made threes for Steph against Brazil coming up in about 8 minutes. What do you got?
Look, Brazil's not very good, and I think the Americans want to get up and coast after they've let some other teams hang around early. Just get rid of this team, move on, and chill for the next one. There's a lot of older guys on this U.S. team, right, that they're going to potentially need later for tougher matchups, for deeper rosters. So I'm going to lay that 8 in the first half and look at them coming out really hot out of the gates. That's the first play I'm going to go with. The second one is Bam Adebayo over 4.5 rebounds. Patrick, I just thought this number was way too low. He had 7 against South Sudan, and there's been a lot of hype about Anthony Davis. And don't get me wrong, AD has been awesome. His game translates to this international competition way better than it actually does in the NBA. But Bam Adebayo has been as good, if not better, than Anthony Davis when it comes to defending people in the paint. You look at what Brazil wants to do. Their best player, Bruno Caboclo, I can't even say his last name. But he is a big, and in order to shut him down, they're going to need a defender on him who knows how to deal with him in the paint, and Bam is the guy for that job. So because they also don't have the depth and the size to combat these guys, the fours and fives for Team USA, I will go over 4.5 rebounds on Bam Adebayo.
Okay, big guy, for my next prop, I'm going to go with the king. You've heard of him, LeBron James. Now, in all three games, he's exceeded this number for rebounds and assists, 12.5. Been playing about 22 minutes. I expect him to continue to be a facilitator. He's bigger than anybody on Brazil, and he's a forward. So I expect him to get boards. If he plays, again, the only issue here with the props that Dustin and I are throwing your way is if Kerr just says, let's chill with our starters and put him on cruise control. But 12.5, he's averaging 6.5 rebounds. LeBron's averaging 6.5 assists. He's averaging 13 combined. I'm going to go over 12.5. So again, we're going heavy on the United States for good reason. Brazil stinks. So I'll go 2.5 made over for Steph and over rebounds and assists, LeBron 12.5.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no way to back Brazil on this one. You just can't. I mean, if you want to take the points for the game, I understand that just because it's a massive number. But it's surprising Brazil is here. They're not that good. To that point, the U.S. is 23-10 all-time against Brazilians, 9-0 in the Olympics, but the last matchup for them was 1996.
Oh, I graduated high school then.
It's a long time ago. You're an old guy.
It is a long time. It is, big guy. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. All right, so get those bets in. That's coming up in what? It's tipping in what, 4 minutes, big guy?
Yeah.
All right, get those in. So we've got four plays, USA, Brazil. Now, when we return, a lot has been made about Brandon Ayuk. And right now, as we talk to you in real time, more news is coming out on his potential destination. I'm going to tell you something right now. Keep Ayuk, 49ers. I'm still down on him. We're coming back with the 49ers and Ayuk next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. USA, Brazil about the tip. Of course, Dustin, 8 on the first quarter, not first half. We just misspoke there. So 8 first quarter, looking for the USA team to come out hot against a undermanned Brazil team. And then he's got Bam on the boards, 4.5. I've got Steph over 2.5 three-pointers made. I've got LeBron rebounds assists over 12.5. So that's the Olympics as it's underway. You know, I think, like, and you're going to hear from Michael Lombardi coming up. Of course, Lombardi line earlier today on VSIN in regards to Brandon Ayuk. And I think with the Brandon Ayuk conversation, you have to step back a little bit and kind of understand what we're working with here. And Dustin has the latest and the breaking news on will he or won't he? Just to give you an idea of what the 49ers and Ayuk are dealing with. First off, Ayuk, I'm starting to get a little bit of a vibe that I don't know. 26 years old, he's a 1B receiver. You can place him a little higher if you'd like. You know, 75 receptions, a little over 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns last year, kind of coming into his own over the past couple of years. I don't think he's quite on that top tier. He's obviously not Tyreek Hill. He's obviously not Justin Jefferson. He's not Jamar Chase. He's probably a 1B receiver. But the 49ers are in a tough spot, and we're going to get to the 49ers pricing for the year coming up in just a little bit. 49ers are in a tough spot because Ayuk is on his fifth-year option. So essentially, he's going to make a little over 14 mil this year, but he's sitting back and saying, no, I want to make double that, and I want a new contract. The issue I have with Ayuk is he's been playing some gamesies with the 49ers. Do you remember? Now, he's best friends with the quarterback there with the Commanders and Jane Daniels. And so he showed up at their OTAs and was taking videos. I just didn't like, and I haven't liked. I know this is a new era where you try to negotiate contracts through social media, but I haven't liked the way Ayuk has comported himself. Not saying he's a bad kid. I just haven't loved the vibes. And again, he's gotten better. Rookie season, 60 receptions. 2021, sophomore, 56. 78, 2 years ago, 75, 342, and seven touchdowns. He's a stud. Not pretending like he's not, and it would be a big loss for the 49ers. Okay, so that's the setup. Fifth-year option, paid about 14, wants to get paid early. It makes sense. Now the 49ers, who have long said we're not interested in trading Brandon Ayuk, apparently, and Dustin, I'll come to you for this, as far as any breaking news in real time, the 49ers have essentially said we're not trading him. Now the 49ers are like, yeah, we're open to options. What are you hearing?
Okay, so last night we had it where it was established Matt Maiocco from NBC up there in the Bay Area said that the 49ers had a framework for deals with both the Browns and the Patriots, potentially Kendrick Bourne from New England going back, Amari Cooper going back, and then now today, about 25 minutes ago, Adam Schefter with a report. Steelers and the 49ers re-engaged in conversations midday today regarding Brandon Ayuk. As of Monday night, the 49ers-Steelers talk stalled, but there have been further conversations today in an ever-fluid situation that still involves other teams as well. So now we have the Browns, we have the Patriots, and the Steelers are back in the mix.
Pats, Browns, Steelers. Now, the team that's been hot for Ayuk for months has been the Patriots, and we'll get to the ramifications there. I also want to discuss what it means for the better if Ayuk were to move on from the 49ers. Before we do that, and we can play the whole clip here, boys, let's hear from our NFL insider here at VSiN and Michael Lombardi talking about the Ayuk drama.
San Francisco's had enough, right? That they've tried to sign player to a contract. They can't seem to reason with the player. As an executive in the league, one of the things that I've always experienced is when you have a player that's unreasonable or doesn't have self-awareness or thinks he's better than he really is, those contracts are hard. And if some other team wants to pay $5 million above the market value for a receiver because they think it's going to change their franchise, why not take advantage? Now, I think what San Francisco wants back is an offensive player and draft picks. I think that's pretty clear. I think they'll end up settling for draft picks. I don't know about the rumors about who's involved in these trades today. Just before we came on, there was a, you know, Brandon Ayuk trade to New England, and Matt Judon and Kendrick Bourne were both not on the field today for the Patriots. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what it means. I know this. There's two things that have to take place. A deal has to be consummated between the between a team and satisfy the 49ers. That's probably fairly easy. The next step is you've got to satisfy Ayuk in terms of how much per year and how much guaranteed and how's the spread of the money. That's a challenge. That's a challenge because Brandon Ayuk thinks he's an elite receiver when he has no numbers to support it. So I think this is going to be fascinating. Look, I didn't think they would get here, but like I've been saying on my podcast, I've been saying on this show, at some point you get it, you say enough is enough.
Yeah,
and I think
GM
Kyle
Shuffle.
Shanahan has said enough.
I don't know, you know, because there's
All right, so of course his show on VSiN is called The Lombardi Line. A GM Shuffle is the podcast. So that's just for edification. Lombardi's 100% right. He is purporting himself. Let me ask you a question. Is he Amon-Ra St. Brown? No, he's not. Is he Justin Jefferson? No, he's not. Is he Ja'Marr Chase? Absolutely, he's not. And I don't even want to talk about Tyreek Hill and others. So Ayuk's a nice player, a nice compliment, and potentially could build. And he's 26 years old. He's going to get his first real deal coming off the rookie deal. But what Lombardi said at the beginning of that conversation to me was the most poignant. And that is, I don't like the attitude. I don't like the way he's purporting. I don't like the way he's comporting himself. I don't like the idea. And don't, again, push back with the, hey, it's a new era, social media. I get that. Doesn't mean I have to accept it. So the idea that Ayuk is waiving his social status as though he's wide receiver one, he's wide receiver 1B. So if the 49ers decide to move on, c'est la vie. I have no problem with it. And if something happens during the next, you know, 2.5 hours, we'll certainly give you the update. That's not the issue for me. The issue for me when it comes to this 49ers team, first off, it starts with Kyle Shanahan. We could constantly blowing smoke, and I'll give you reasons why maybe we should pump the brakes just a little bit when it comes to your boy Kyle Shanahan. Two, the word is attrition. And we'll get to why I think this year is going to be a down year for the 49ers because of attrition. Because everything went perfectly for the 49ers last year when it comes to injuries. And injury luck is something that is very up, down, year to year. That's something that you can't, you know, there's it's a very volatile thing. Now, San Francisco pricing, wins, 11.5, $1.25 to the under. Are they going to get to 12 if you go over for the 49ers? The 49ers are your second favorite to win the Super Bowl at 6-1 behind the Chiefs. They are your favorite in the NFC at plus 250. And in the West, they are a big favorite at minus $1.95. Okay, I'm going to get into why I'm fading the 49ers, why I'm fading them if they end up holding on to Ayuk or end up moving on from Ayuk. But I want to start with you. And do you believe Ayuk is worth what he's trying to procure from the 49ers?
I think Brandon Ayuk is a nice receiver. He's fine. Like, he's not an average one. He's definitely above that. Everyone says he's a great route runner, right? I think he does all the little things right. He's not super explosive. He's not a monster. He's not someone defenses are accounting for where he is in the field every single play. He's good, and he fits the system well. So I think maybe if he goes to a place like New England where they don't have a quarterback, where they're in this massive rebuild, he'll come back to regret it and be frustrated. But when I saw the deal where they could potentially trade Ayuk, get Amari Cooper back and picks, I was like, what's the difference between Brandon Ayuk and Amari Cooper? I don't see it. I think Amari Cooper is just as good. You put him in this system in San Francisco and he will thrive. Now, when it comes to the big picture of the Niners, the health thing is the number one concern. And oh, by the way, they're coming into the season, Patrick, without Greenlaw, who hurt himself in the Super Bowl. The safety Hufanga is hurt on the PUP list to start the year. I think this defense is going to look very different. I have a lot of concerns about that. And then on the other side of the ball, if you're working in a new receiver in this system, you also have to remember Deebo Samuel has plenty of his own issues staying on the field. Christian McCaffrey has been used a ton over the last 2 years with their issues at quarterback. At some point, that running back wears down. It's just inevitable. And he wasn't really a durable guy when he was in Carolina either. There is a lot at play here before we even get to the issues with Kyle Shanahan. See, this is where you and I differ. I think Kyle Shanahan is a genius, but he's only a genius.
You think he's cute.
He's only a genius until the playoffs start. Then it goes away.
I think, like with dudes, one thing that we have to also mention, and I've worked with, you know, you for a long time, I've worked with people for a long time. Sometimes you buy into perception, and Shanahan's a red ass, and he's always got a pensive look on his face, and he looks cool in his little hat. When we return, I'm going to tell you why maybe we need to pump the brakes a little bit. Now, you mentioned the offense. All 11 starters return. Brock Purdy, second full year. McCaffrey, offensive player of the year last year. Deebo, Kittle, Purcell, the rookie. Defensively, third fewest points allowed. All pros at all three levels. Like, there's a reason the 49ers are your second favorite to win a Super Bowl, but I think the numbers, I think the pricing is out of whack, and we'll discuss coming back. And frankly, you're going to have to stick with us because this Ayuk news, as I look at our social media, the Ayuk news could be coming at any second. We're fading the 49ers coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Dustin, I want to talk about this proxy, but when I'm done, I want to know an update with the United States and Brazil on our props, on the score, on everything. Now, if you need a contest proxy, so what does that mean? You want to get involved in Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, the Super Contest? Talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy is now in its ninth year providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Millions contest winners. There's a little bit of a track record there. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winners Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access. Yeah, I said it. Monthly access to VSiN Pro services, stadium swim passes, spring drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Now, a couple of things. We're going to get back into the 49ers, but let's get what's happening in real time here. And that is our bets on the United States v. Brazil in men's basketball. What do we have there, big guy?
As it stands right now, 27-14, the U.S. on top, 3 minutes remaining in the first. The USA clean, Brazilian-like, 4 from 4 from 3. Your boy, LeBron James, who you believe he is the GOAT, 5 assists already, 1 rebound. Steph Curry, 4 points, 1 rebound. And Bam Adebayo has yet to check into the game for my prop.
So I had rebounds, assists on LeBron over 12.5. First quarter, a little past halfway through the first quarter, LeBron, 6 combined. Nice little start. And you need to cover 8 in that first quarter. Again, give me the score.
27-14 right now, 2:25 to go.
Oh, you looking good.
Feeling good.
You look good because of the weight loss, but you look better if you win me a bet.
I think we all agree. I think I feel better, and then the weight loss happens easier because I'm not eating my feelings because I went 0 for 4 for the day.
Yeah, that's something that's very important. He's Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Something that's very important. Dustin doesn't really care about his temple. He doesn't really care about like living. He just cares about impressing people by winning bets. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, but they coincide. So when the bets aren't going good, the eating gets bad as well. Somehow I develop more shame for how much I ate than I did picking losers. But when the bets are going well, it's very easy for me to eat healthy.
You could just go to therapy and fix that childhood trauma and then not eat after you lose a bet.
Yeah, man, it's been like 6 months of therapy. Guess what? The food thing is like not even in the top 10 of issues we're working on.
So those of you that care, I'm also involved in Champions League qualification.
Oh,
Lille, 1-0 over Fenerbahçe from Turkey. And I've got Lille plus 127. Terrible price.
Hold on.
The game started before the show started, so I couldn't give it out. I don't know what to tell you, people.
Hold on. How are they playing these soccer matches when there's all these other players playing in the Olympics? I don't understand.
It's just the way it goes. Soccer don't sleep. It don't stop.
How big are these rosters?
Look, international soccer, and this is what people, maybe now with a new outlook here at VSiN, you're going to hear a lot about international soccer because it's profitable. International soccer is the global sport. It don't sleep. It don't stop, whether it be league play, whether it be champions, whether it be any, like, it don't stop. And right now, Lille, France over Fenerbahçe, Turkey, 1-0. That's what I'm telling you.
I thought I saw a story. Isn't West Ham about to get relegated?
West Ham go hard. That's in the EPL. Could be. You never know. Okay, so let's get back into the Ayuk stuff. Anything happen in the 5 minutes we went to break there as far as Ayuk?
No updates from Ayuk, but I mean, it feels like now we have 3 teams in the mix. The 49ers are going to get something for Brandon Ayuk, and like I said before, if they get Amari Cooper and draft picks back, that feels like a major win in this whole situation for San Francisco.
See, the consternation for the 49ers moving on from Ayuk, who had his best year as a pro last year, Dustin, is because if we're being completely honest, the Niners window is literally this year. And that's where I want to start. They were healthy last year. But let me ask you this. Has Christian McCaffrey been durable in his career? The answer is no.
Nope.
Has George Kittle been durable in his career? Absolutely not. And last year, the 49ers, talking about attrition, had 9 Pro Bowlers, a combined missed 7 games amongst those 9 Pro Bowlers. Everything went perfectly. except Kyle Shanahan, because this is what Kyle Shanahan does. You don't even have to go back to 28-3 or whatever the score was with the Falcons losing to the Patriots when he was calling the offense. Let's think about this. They lost in overtime to the Chiefs last year in the Super Bowl. Did you know they had a double-digit lead in the Super Bowl? That's Kyle Shanahan, people. Did you know they had a fourth-quarter 10-point lead against the Rams in the conference title game a couple of years ago, and they lost that one as well? I'm not saying Shanahan isn't an offensive genius, and I'm not saying he's not a very good coach. We just need to relax. He's not that much of an advantage when it comes to in-game, and he's proven that. Again, variance when it comes to injuries. You cannot expect, and McCaffrey, who led the league in touches last year, Dustin mentioned it, he's not that young for that position. Dustin said it earlier. Eventually, that's going to wear on him. He had more touches, McCaffrey, on his way to the Offensive Player of the Year than anybody in the league last year. Given track records, McCaffrey's going to get hurt. Kittle's going to get hurt. Like, everything lined up perfectly, and they lost in overtime in the Super Bowl last year. There are reports that Purdy has been doo-doo in camp. Don't kill the messenger. He hasn't looked good in camp. Not saying he's not going to be great. He was tremendous last year, Brock Purdy, in his first year after being Mr. Irrelevant. And you expect him under the tutelage of Shanahan to be very good. Again, 11 starters returning on offense. There's no reason for this offense to take a step back. Some questions on defense, but the defense was awesome last year. I just think the pricing at this point and just the confluence of what went perfectly last year, the expectations for that to carry over attrition into this year for the 49ers, sitting 11.5 on wins and 6-1 to win the Super Bowl, I think that's overpriced.
Yeah, you brought up the human element, and I think it's a good way of looking at this team, because if you turned off all the human element, if it was a video game, injuries off, situations off, like momentum off, it's just straight up talent. Yeah, they're top two or three in the league. There's no doubt about it, but I'll add to all those flaws that you brought up. Debo Samuel's at issue staying healthy. How about the O-line? Trent Williams wants a new contract too. Trent Williams ain't getting any younger as well. So you're going to put all this money into this one guy at left tackle. Now we're talking about Trent Williams, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk potentially out of the situation, less continuity, CMC and the attrition. What does that all equal? It equals more being on Brock Purdy's shoulders. And if we've learned anything about last year, is the more he was asked to do, the less this offense capitalized on situations. Remember the game against Baltimore? Remember all of the interceptions? Kyle Hamilton's running another one back against Brock Purdy right now. So I think that's something you have to factor in here. With all these guys and all this up in flux for them, there is a lot of potential that you're going to ask Brock Purdy to do more, and he's just not capable of being that guy.
Yeah, and I was digging into the 49ers' schedule. They have schedule disadvantages this year. Anybody that, obviously, with the first place, anybody with their type of success is going to have some tough spots in regards to the schedule. Again, I am on 12-5 last year. Essentially, that's what you're looking at if you want to go over the 11.5 this year. Obviously, I know it's a little juice to the under, but I do like the under 11.5. And again, you just mentioned it. It's not just McCaffrey. It's not just Kittle. It's also Debo, who back to South Carolina has been injured. And Trent Williams, who, again, that is part of the reason they're having this issue with whether or not to extend Ayuk, because they have a lot of people on the back end that they have to extend, including Trent Williams, who, by the way, is an all-time great, but I think he's my age.
Oh, and let's add some more. Lack of continuity. We have a new defensive coordinator in here for San Francisco, right? There's a lot going on in this team. We can't just pencil them in the NFC title game, because let's look at the NFC as well, Patrick. It's only getting better. Your Lions gave this team everything it could handle a year ago. I think we both agree that the Eagles are going to be much improved. Don't count out the Packers. The Rams in that division alone are going to be a threat. I mean, it's just not getting easier. They're not going to have a cakewalk to the Super Bowl again.
Congratulations to the big guy as you cash your first bet of the day. We finished in Paris quarter one, United States, Brazil. Dustin laid the 8 in the first quarter. 35-21, United States leads. Pretty competitive.
It's going to be ugly. Bam Adebayo, by the way, 4 first quarter rebounds. One more and we go over that to start the day 2-0.
They're often you think about yourself first. We could also kind of update what's happening with my bets in the future.
Your players are off the floor.
Steve Cohen, are you paying attention? Dustin's doing well. He just wants you to know. We're coming back with, in my estimation, the best to do it when it comes to college football, Andy Staples.